Okay, I'm going to share just the briefest little story and introduce our guests. Long ago, when I was at work, I was having a conversation with a coworker, and he said, "It's not fair. It's just not fair." And I said, "Well, what's not fair?" You know, we were talking a little about the Lord. And he said, "Why did God choose the Jewish people? Why didn't he choose the Korean people?" And he was really kind of ticked off. He said, "Why didn't he choose the Korean people?" And I didn't have an answer, you know. And God chose the Jewish people, and he knew it he was doing. So we are honored to have Kirill Swiderski and his wife, Elena, from Chosen People Ministries. They have a special calling to the minister to Russian-speaking Jews in the Chicago area. And they've given us some time, and they're going to come and educate us today. So it's all yours.
Shalom. Shalom, everyone. Thank you so much for inviting us. It's a big blessing to be here again. And, I hope I don't need to introduce myself because I did it twice in your church. So it's not so important, by the way. But I want to tell you interesting things. Maybe you don't know about that. Ron and Sarah, that guys who were killed a few days ago, they were Messianic Jews. Do you know about that? Yeah. They believed in Jesus. And Ron stood in connection with our mission. One day he was in Japan and stood for a few days in a facility belonging to our mission. And so he was connected. And very interesting, he's from Nuremberg. He was born in Germany, in Nuremberg. And in Nuremberg, there is only one Messianic congregation, and the leader of that congregation, my close friend. It's very interesting. I'd like to figure out maybe he was a member there or his parents. And it looks like their parents were from the former Soviet Union, because he has this name, last name, Leshinsky. And Leshinsky, like my last name, Swiderski, is a special sign that maybe there were Jewish people from the former Soviet Union. It's interesting. Good for me to know personally, because I know that they're there by the Lord, and one day we will meet. It's very important to know. It's what the Lord gave us to celebrate every day. We belong to Him. Our names are in the book of the Lamb. One day we will be together, sing the special song in Hebrew. It's important. Okay, my ministry, our ministry going on, and there are many things to do among Jewish people. By the way, in this very difficult time for Jewish people, please pray for us. Please pray for reaching of Jewish people with the gospel. Please pray for our mission. And of course, if you can support us, it's absolute amazing thing. I know that many people want to help, but they don't know how. And today we have information table. So we have few books. You can buy it. And of course, if you don't get an information from our mission, you can sign up for our prayer letters and information about Jewish people, about Israel, from the first hand, because you know, our mission is international, and we have a big branch in Israel as well, so you will know many things about it from the informations distributing of from our mission. So of course you can go in internet on our website, great website, chosenpeople.com, and you will find there a lot of things, very interesting things, a lot of testimonies of Jewish people who came to faith in Jesus, and many other informations. All right, yes, please pray for me, especially for me now, because I have been invited to be a president of the Jewish Messianic Russian-speaking Alliance here in America. I don't know. I didn't say yes. I have a time until July, and there I have to say something. I don't know. It's a lot of responsibilities because we have about 13 Messianic congregations America-wide. So, and then I've been invited to read a course in German University in Berlin about Messianic movement, the history of Messianic movement. Yes, it's all together in the my ministry, you know, my congregation and all other things. I don't know how I can do that. Please pray for me. All right. So, by the way, do we have a clicker? You have your mouth. And if I'll give you my clicker, could it work? No? All right. All right. So today we're going to talk about Pentecost or Shavuot. Do you know what's Pentecost? Did you celebrate Pentecost in your life? Do you know how to celebrate Pentecost? It's a very difficult topic. It's a very difficult topic. We will read a lot today, okay? And I hope you will understand everything what I am about to share. And please pray, okay? It's not so easy, all right? The first reaction is this holiday is related to outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. However, did you know that the word Pentecost in Greek, Pentekonta 50, refers to the holiday of Passover? That's right, because its holiday begins 7 weeks later on the 15th day after Passover, and it's called Shavuot in Hebrew, weeks. This is actually an agricultural holiday, the festival of the wheat harvest, and therefore also called Chag HaBikurim, that is the feast of the first fruits in Hebrew. The same holiday in Judaism is revered as the holiday of the gift of the Torah. You know what's Torah, right? Okay. Although there is no specific indication of this in the Torah itself, judging by the hints in the Torah itself, the Torah was given to the people of Israel at this time. And it was the feast of Shavuot that God chose to pour out the Holy Spirit on the disciples of Jesus to begin to save people and to form his church. To explain this holiday, I would like to go to one of the statements of Jesus. Okay? It's in Luke 6, 43 to 45. For a good tree doesn't bring forth corrupt fruit. Neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorn, nor they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth the good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth the evil. for out of the abundance of his heart his mouth speaks. This place can be safely called the teaching of Jesus in miniature. Otherwise, it's called in Hebrew, Lev Tahor, the pure heart. Our heart can be seen the moment we open our mouth. So before his ascension to the Father, Jesus warns his disciples that something special is waiting for them. In Acts 1, 1-7, we read, "Truly, O Theophilus, I made the first report as to all things that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day he was taken up, having given direction to the apostles whom he chose through the Holy Spirit, to whom he also presented himself living after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them through 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And having met with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which you heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then indeed this coming together, they asked him, saying, Lord, do you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put on his own authority, but you shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." When we talk about the Bible, we always talk about salvation from sin. No matter what place in the Bible we will take, it will always be about sin and righteousness. In fact, this place is about the same thing. Therefore, the disciples ask their teacher joyfully, "Will you not restore Israel at this time?" But let's talk about everything in order. So the last words of Jesus addressed to his disciples before his ascension say that the disciples should wait for the promise from the Father. Again, Acts 1:4 and 5, "And having met with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which you heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now." In Greek, baptizio, in Hebrew, tvila, literally means immersion. However, the meaning of the immersion is the ritual washing of sins. Jewish theologians of the first century were very interested in the question of immersion in the sense of ablution. The famous dispute between the famous teachers Hillel and Shammai about this is recorded in the Talmud. In the Judaism of that time, in order to repent of sin, it was necessary to go into the water. We know this especially well from the religious practices of the so-called Qumranites. However, the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8:36, listening to Philip's explanation of Isaiah 53, saw the water and exclaimed, "And as they passed along the way, there came on the water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water, what hinders me from the being baptized?" This also confirmed by Peter, who wrote in his first epistle, it's Peter 3:21, "which figure now also saved us baptism, not a putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good consciousness toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." It means that the water of baptism is an important symbol of purification, but not the purification by itself. The resurrection of Jesus is the real purification. Yohanan HaMatbil, or John the Baptist, didn't encourage people just to go into the water. His call was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, in Matthew 3:2. But at the same time, he encourages people to go into the water to wash themselves. And he says, Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water to repent, but he who comes after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In other words, the word baptized can be completely replaced by wash. John says that he washes in water, but the Messiah who follows him will wash in the Holy Spirit. Jesus began his ministry with miracles, saying that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. In John 3, we read about a certain Nicodemus who comes to Jesus at night. It's the miracle that impressed him. He said that a person cannot perform such miracles if God not with him. In other words, he said that Prushim or Pharisees believed. Only the righteous who fulfill the commandments completely, that is an absolutely pure, sinless person, can have such a close relationship with God that they can perform miracles. And so Jesus was scarified as a Passover lamb at the Passover, and 3 days later, during the shaking of the first sheaf, he rises from the dead. For 40 days he communicates with his disciples, and before his accession he says to the disciples in Acts 1:4-5, and having met with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to obey the promise of the Father, which you heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. We do not forget that the teaching of Jesus is, for a good tree doesn't bring forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth the good, and an evil man of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth the evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. What kind of tree would you call yourself? What kind of heart do you have? How do I find out? Very simple. Open your mouth and start talking. And everyone will see your heart. Right? So Shavuot, in Leviticus 23:15-17, we read, and you shall count to you from the next day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. To the next day after the 7th Sabbath, you shall number 50 days, and you shall offer a new food offering to the Lord. The principle of God is to separate and thus purify. He separated and sanctified the 7th day of the Shabbat, and the Shabbat became a holy day. God separated Abraham to make a nation out of him, so that Abraham would be a sign. Being in Egypt, Israel is separated by the land of Goshen. At the time of the Exodus from Egypt, Israel was separated by the blood of the Passover lamb. Somewhere on the 50th day after Passover, Moses ascended Mount Sinai and received the Torah, making a covenant with the Most High. Now Israel is separated by the commandments of the Torah, the covenant that God made with her on Mount Sinai. And if she fulfilled the commandments of the Torah, she becomes pure. What is God's promise? All the same. He wants to purify his people. Therefore, when Israel comes to the promised land, it should remember the way out of slavery on the Passover and rejoice in the Torah on Shavuot. God gave it. Praise God. What is the Torah? What happened when Israel entered its land? Do you remember that? What happened when Israel entered the its land? Do you remember? The manna stopped falling. Yeah, why? Because now everything depends on your submission to the Torah. You don't have to bow to the Torah. You don't have to ask it. However, it's her voice that needs to be listened to. It's the basis of communication with God. If you study it and keep its commandments, then you will be fine with our agriculture. Therefore, the Torah is not only the law, it's your consolation, it's a proof of God's love. So what should you do? Torah after all. Torah is the best. The Torah will be in your heart. You will be grateful to God, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You will open your mouth and everyone will see your heart. There is a problem. Other nations. Israel wants to be like other nations. As a result, idols appear in Israel. The temple doesn't work. The word of God doesn't work. So you became like other peoples because you see how these peoples live. And you want to live the same way. But you have forgotten that God gave you the Torah to separate you, to purify you, to bless you. Therefore, Israel is being attacked by enemies. Therefore, the northern kingdom goes into captivity to Assyria, and the southern kingdom to Babylon. Despite the fact that God restored Israel again after 2,000 years of dispersion, Israel is still far from calling this country the land of milk and honey. Israel is surrounded by enemies, and Israel is fighting terrorism. Is there a way out of this situation? The prophet Jeremiah, who lived 600 BC, says, behold, it's 31:31-34. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will cut a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I cut with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant of mine they broke, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this shall be a covenant that I will cut with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall no more teach each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Note, the God's goals have not changed. He has the same goals. He wants to purify and separate his people. He wants the Torah that Moses received in the form of stone tablets, now written in their hearts. Then you will fulfill it. Then you will open your mouth and begin to bless. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Again. Yeah. Israel of the first century AD was waiting for the Messiah. There were several ideas about who this Messiah should be. However, everyone was convinced that the Messiah must liberate Israel from the Romans. But Jesus comes and explains the purpose for which he came. Luke 6, 43 to 45. For a good tree doesn't bring forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, do not they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth the good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth the evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Now, in the Gospel of John, we read an addendum to this teaching. In John 16, 5 to 14, Jesus says, "But now I go to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where do you go? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when the one comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, and concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe on me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, he shall speak. And he will announce to you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will receive of mine and will announce it to you." So, if we add up all that we have said, we will have the following. The Holy Spirit will come to write the Torah in the heart of people to complete the process of purification that John the Baptist began. And thus, the New Testament will come to its fulfillment. Jesus dies at the Passover lamb at Passover, rises on the feast of Amer HaTnufah, in Hebrew the Sheaf of Accession, which the priest, according to the commandments of the Torah, must shake before the Lord. For 40 days he appears to his disciples, and just before his ascension to the Father, he says to them, again, Acts 1, 4 to 7, "And having met with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which you heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Then indeed this coming together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, do you at this time restore the kingdom of to Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now we understand that what is promised from the Father is the Torah written in the hearts by the Holy Spirit, which will bring the process of purification to the final result. Naturally, the disciples ask Jesus the question that turns all Israel. It's not all the time, Lord, that you restore the kingdom to Israel. But Jesus doesn't answer this question. It's not for you to know the times or decisions which the Father has put in his own authority is not the answer. But he says what will happen to his disciples now. Acts 1:7-8. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Why? For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. That's the answer. Now your heart will speak of me to the whole world, says Jesus. In Act 2, now the most important part. 1:2-11. And in the fulfilling of the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly a sound came out of the heaven as borne along by the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And tongues of the fire appeared to them being distributed, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled of the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And dwelling at Jerusalem, there were Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. But this sound occurring, the multitude came together and were confounded, because they each heard them speaking in his own dialect. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not these who speaks all Galileans? And how do we hear in our own dialects in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, in the parts of Libya around Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We heard them speaking the great things of God in our languages. So, the Shavuot festival is one of the three pilgrimage festivals, right? In Jerusalem, there were many pilgrims from different countries. And suddenly, something amazing happened. A group of Jesus' disciples from Galilee experienced the Holy Spirit. They opened their mouths, and suddenly their hearts start to speak. For out of the abundance of their heart, his mouth speaks. As a result, on this day, 3,000 Jewish men, not counting their wives and children, were saved and cleansed. With them, Jesus made a new covenant, the first messianic congregation, later called the Christian Church, was born. The feast of the first fruits has come to fruition. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So can you celebrate Pentecost, Shavuot? Does the Holy Spirit live in you? Check it out. Open your mouth and share your heart with unbelieving people. There are a lot of people around you who expect this from you. I was born into a Jewish family in Moscow, in the former Soviet Union. But I found out that we were Jewish when I was about 6, maybe 5 years old. Outside of the house where we used to play, an unknown older boy came up to me and said, "Hey, you dirty Jew, get out of here." I wasn't offended because I didn't understand anything. When I got home, I asked my parents who the dirty Jew was. My parents immediately understood what I was talking about and began to explain that we belong to the people of Israel, that it was an ethnic affiliation, that there were Russians, there were Jews, and so on. But I was a smart boy, so I asked, is being Jewish good or bad? The parents couldn't answer that question. To survive in this anti-Semitic world, we Jews had to prove that we were human beings like everyone else. Therefore, it is almost impossible to find a Soviet Jew without a higher education. That was my way too. But everywhere, at school, at university, and in the army where I served for 2 years, I encountered anti-Semitism. I learned that the Jews crucified Christ, that they prepare matzah from the blood of Christian children, and so on. And therefore, the whole world was divided into us, Jews, and then Gentiles. In 1990, my father died, heart attack. He died suddenly, unexpectedly. My mother fell into a deep depression. One day we went to the cemetery to visit my father's grave. On the territory of the cemetery, there was a small Russian Orthodox church. Suddenly, my mother asked me to go to this church and ask the priest what to do if a loved one died. It was easier for me to go to this church than to argue with my mother. When I entered the church, I immediately saw a man in a black uniform. I went up to him and began with excuse me before asking a question. He glanced at me with an evil look and said the same thing that many years ago I heard from the boy in the courtyard of our house. "A dirty Jew, get out of here." I went out of the church, returned to my mother, and told her that I would never set foot in a place like this in my life. This was my introduction to Christianity. Now another story. A young German family of Christian missionaries was on their way to Kyrgyzstan, Kyrgyzia. Suddenly in Moscow, they got lost and were left without money and tickets. With the last of their money, they called home in Germany, and their parent remembered that a Jew lived not far from their house, who had relatives in Moscow, and turned to him. My uncle Leo called us and asked us to take this poor family in. They stayed with us for 2 weeks. Do you know what happened during this time? They open their mouths, right, and their hearts spoke. And the language of their hearts melted my hate-poisoned heart. 8 years after this event, I studied at a Christian theological seminary in Germany and became a missionary of the Jewish Messianic Mission to do the same thing, to talk to people with the language of my heart and to celebrate Shavuot or Pentecost every day of my life. May the Lord bless you to share the real gospel written in your heart with those deceived and poisoned by hatred people. Chag Shavuot Sameach. Happy Shavuot holiday to you. And may the Lord bless you abundantly. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful holiday you have given to your people. And thank you for this amazing understanding, meaning of this holiday. Thank you that we can, now we can celebrate this holiday every day of our life. Thank you for the Holy Spirit you have given to us. Thank you that you cleansed us to be able to share our heart with other people, to share you with other people, to show the way to be cleansed, to get the internal life, to be a family with us and with you, Jesus. Thank you so much for that. And I'm asking right now to bless all of us and especially bless this church to be able to open their mouths and to share your gospel written in their hearts with all people living around it. And I ask you about this blessing in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Amen.